Galatians 4:11. I am afraid of you, lest I have bestowed upon you labor in vain. Brethren, I beseech you, be as I am, for I am as ye are. Ye have not injured me at all. Ye know how through infirmity of the flesh I preached the gospel unto you at the first. And my temptation which was in my flesh ye despised not, nor rejected, but received me as an angel of God, even as Christ Jesus. Where is then the blessedness ye spake of? For I bear you record that if it had been possible, ye would have plucked out your own eyes and have given them to me. Am I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth? They zealously affect you, but not well. Yea, they would exclude you that ye might affect them. But it is good to be zealously affected always in a good thing, and not only when I am present with you. My little children, of whom I travail in birth again until Christ be formed in you, I desire to be present with you now and to change my voice, for I stand in doubt of you. May God bless the reading of his holy and infallible word to our hearts. Let's pray together. Glorious and chief shepherd of thy sheep, we thank thee for thy heart of divine love and compassion, a heart of tenderness and gentleness, a heart that longs to see sinners saved. Thou who hast shown thy heart in coming into this sin-stained and sick world, we thank thee for who thou art, that thou hast come, Lord Jesus, to be made sin, so that we might be made the righteousness of God in thee. And Lord, we pray that as we turn to thy word this morning, we might see something of that heart that thou hast shown in going the way of the cross, despising the shame, continued steadfast to the very end, staying there on the cross, enduring the Father's wrath, so that we might be not only redeemed from sin, but also be made ministers of the gospel, to be made mouthpieces of that glorious gospel which sets sinners free, which brings maturity to the saints, which brings them all the way home to glory. Lord, we pray that as we see the anatomy of the pastor's heart, that we might see something of thy heart and seek to emulate, to live out that heart of love to the people that we minister to. And so we pray for each brother and sister here this morning, that thou wilt feed us and strengthen us and encourage us with thy word. And Lord, we pray that thou wilt graciously forgive our sins, the sins of hearts that do not beat with love and compassion as they ought to, hearts that have not labored as they ought to, hearts that have not longed enough. Lord, we pray, cover those sins. And we pray that thou wilt then help us and encourage us this morning. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we'll take that composite sketch as we heard last week and focus then on the pastor's heart or on the student's heart as we prepare for ministry in God's vineyard. And I'd like to focus then on Galatians 4, verses 19 and 20, where Paul writes to the Galatians, "My little children, of whom I travail in birth again until Christ be formed in you. I desire to be present with you now and to change my voice, for I stand in doubt of you." We can put our fingers on these two verses and take the pulse of the Apostle Paul as he's ministering to the Galatians. And I pray that we take these two verses this morning and take our own pulse, lay our own hearts beside these verses and take our own pulse. So the theme for this morning is simply this, taking the pastor's pulse. The first thing we want to see is his love. The second thing we want to see is his labor. And thirdly, his longing. Taking the pastor's pulse, his love, his labor, and his longing. It's amazing as we read through the epistle of the Galatians that Paul would continue to minister to the Galatians. Perhaps we might be tempted to throw our hands up and say, I've had enough with these people who have departed from the gospel. We excommunicate them and we leave them alone. But that's not what Paul does here. He returns to them by way of letter and he speaks to them. He lays his heart open before them. They had in large part twisted the gospel. They had listened to the Judaizers who had come to them and told them that they had to be circumcised in order to be accepted or justified before God. They insisted on legalism and circumcision as part of justification. This caused Paul a great amount of grief. And yet we see that Paul loved them nonetheless. These two verses really open up the heart of Paul for the Galatians. He shows the heartbeat of the pastor's heart. And how does he do that? He shows them his love, his possessive love. He says, my little children. Not Apollos' little children, not Barnabas' little children, but my little children. He owns them as his own. He witnesses their sad departure from the purity of the gospel. And he moves from persuasive argument in chapters 1 to 3 to persuasive passion in these verses. He owns them as his own children, my children. He has nurtured them in the gospel. He has seen them come to faith. But now they depart back to the bondage of works. They treat Paul as an enemy. But he still calls them my little children. The gospel bond has cemented them together. And Paul is not willing to let them go. He's not willing to surrender them to the Judaizers, to the enemies of the gospel. So he clings to them in the gospel. He says, my little children. He shows the shepherd's pulse here, the love of the shepherd's heart. Elsewhere, Paul speaks of this unique possessive love. He says, for though ye have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet have ye not many fathers. For in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel. So here's this intimate connection that Paul has laid with the Galatians. And so he calls them my children because he's begotten them through the gospel. And brothers, we need that same possessive love pulsating through our hearts, through our veins as we minister to people in our flocks. We will witness our spiritual children go through intense trials with various results. Some will chafe at those trials. Some will submit sweetly. Others will grow hard. But we own them for the sake of Christ. Because we have come among them. We have begotten them through the gospel. Some will face death. They will face it resolutely. Others will face it with fear. But we love them possessively because they're our children in the gospel. Some are tempted to leave church, to depart from the faith and embrace false doctrine or settle for something that's appealing to the flesh. We've expended all these labors on them. Are we going to let them go? Are we going to hold on to them, to cling to them and say, you are my children. I'm not going to surrender you to the world. I'm going to hang on to you. And then there are those who show an angry and critical spirit. Some who will boycott your sermon. Some who will boycott your person. Who will avoid you as their pastor? Are we going to surrender them to the sins of their own heart? Or are we going to own them and say, my little children? Some of the flock will walk inconsistently, professing to know Christ and yet walking contrary to that profession. Are we going to surrender them to a lukewarm walk of life, a lukewarm love for the Lord? Are we going to own them? Are we going to pursue them and say, my little children, I will not let you go? Some will fall grievously. having sat with you at the communion table as you administered communion. We own them as our children. Restore them in the spirit of meekness. My little children. Paul shows his possessive love for the Galatians. He opens up the heart of the pastor, what we must be for our flocks. Our present flocks or our future flocks. He shows a tender love as well, doesn't he? He doesn't say, my brethren, my little children. Paul could have destroyed them through argumentation. He could have destroyed them through the gospel. He says, my little children. He's straining here for words that display the tenderness, the affection, the gentleness that he has for the Galatians. He remembers their reception of them. He says, you are willing to pluck out your own eyes for me. Now I'm coming back to you and I'm calling you my little children. I'm owning you with this tender love. He continues to be gentle. This reminds us of Paul's words from Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 7. He says, but we were gentle among you. Even as a nurse cherishes her children, so being affectionately desirous of you, we were willing to have imparted unto you not the gospel of God only, but also our own souls. Chapters 1 to 3, Paul is imparting the gospel to them, but now he's saying, here is my soul for you, Galatians, because you were dear to us. And so behind every sermon we preach, there must be this tender heart of affection, my little children. Behind every rebuke is this tender heart, because Paul is rebuking the Galatians. Oh, foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you? And yet behind that rebuke is this gentleness that longs to see the Galatians return back to the gospel, to Jesus Christ. Behind every visit ought to be this tender heart that longs to see our children grow through trial and affliction. Behind every administration of the sacrament ought to be this heart that beats with gentleness, with love, with tenderness to see our children grow and mature and be strengthened in their faith. We shouldn't be ashamed to show this tender heart of love to our people. I think we're all aware of the world in which we live. It's cruel, it's hatred. The devil goes about as a roaring lion. He's merciless. We must be men of mercy. Men of tenderness, men of compassion, men of gentleness. Our people need to see that from us. They need to see us reflect our chief shepherd, Jesus himself. Brothers, what is your pulse this morning? Maybe some of you are glad to be here away from your congregations, glad to be in this oasis of learning. But you're going to have to return, perhaps to a difficult situation. What will your pulse be? Will it be beating with love, with possessive and tender love for the hearts of your children? But in back of all this, what is it that is driving Paul? Is it just something that's his own love that he's whipped up? No, we've already seen that it's a gospel love. It's a divine love. It's not mere human love that pulsates from Paul's heart. No, it's gospel love that has kept Paul's heart knit to these Galatians, that he continues to pursue them in spite of their stubbornness and sad departure from the gospel. He grieved, yet he loved. He rebuked, yet he loved. He taught, and he loved. He preached, and he loved. He loved ultimately because why? Because he writes to the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians 5, the love of Christ constrains me. This was the impelling force in Paul's heart as he ministered to the Galatians, as he ministered to all the churches. The love of Christ constrains me. The love of Christ impels me to minister to these people. Here we have a heart of love pulsating with tender, possessive, and divine love. Is this something your people can see and hear and know from your ministry among you? If they would put their fingers on your pulse, could they sense the heart beating with this type of love? You love them in spite of who they are. because the love of Christ constrains you. That's why Paul can still own the Galatians, those foolish Galatians who had departed from the gospel. That's how you and I can love the gentlest and most mature saint. That's how you and I can love the most difficult and recalcitrant sheep. Because the shepherd has taken our hearts and shown us something of his love and compassion for us. Paul shows the Galatians immense love, but he shows them also intense labor. My little children, of whom I travail in birth again. It's a heart that pulses with love, but also pulses with difficult and intense labor. Paul takes us into the labor and delivery room, if you will, of the gospel. There's this pain that gnaws at him, a labor that reveals a heavy burden for the souls of the Galatians. It's agonizing labor. Paul uses the word travail. Literally means labor pains of a woman who is giving birth. And for those of you who have stood by your wives giving birth, you know the pain and the agony they go through. Paul is here laboring in intense pain for the souls of the Galatians. As a mother is in pain, labor pains, and giving birth to her child, it's intense, it's agonizing. He grits his teeth as he hears reports of the Galatians as they've departed from the gospel. But notice what he says, I travail in birth again. So he sets to work again, teaching them the basics of the gospel. He commits to their spiritual welfare in spite of sickness. I came to you through infirmity of the flesh. He comes again to them with intense labor. In spite of possibly being declared an enemy of the Galatians for the sake of the gospel, he comes again and he labors intensely, agonizingly. He agonizes over them in prayer. He longs to visit them again. He agonizes over their spiritual welfare. Here again is one way to take the shepherd's pulse. A pulse that loves, but a pulse that also labors intensely over souls who are unsaved. You pray agonizingly over those whom you know are trapped in doubts and fears about their own salvation. You long to see them walking in the freedom and liberty of Christ, not to be brought into the bondage of works. You travail over those who have become calloused and discontented, even though they say they know Christ and believe the gospel. You agonize over those who love the world more than Christ. You agonize over those with a critical spirit who prescribe what the preaching ought to be, and yet do not submit to the claims of the gospel themselves. And so we see a heart of love is often mixed with a heart of intense and agonizing labor. And let's not be in doubt. This labor comes with a personal cost. Paul's pain is intensely personal. My little children, of whom I travail again in birth. There's personal pain that goes into this gospel enterprise of ministering to souls, of preaching the gospel. You expend all your energies and efforts for the sake of your people. You will lose sleep for their sakes. You will deplete your energy for their sakes. You will take criticism for their sakes when you're tempted to quit because of all the pressure that comes against you. Because of all the personal pain that's been caused to you. You will not quit because you are no hireling. And such a heart says you will follow the great shepherd. You say with Paul in 1 Thessalonians 2, verses 9 and 10, for you remember, brethren, our labor and travail. For laboring night and day, because we would not be chargeable unto any of you, we preached unto you the gospel of God. We count the costs of ministry and the labor and delivery room of the church comes with personal pain and suffering. Be prepared for that. But count the costs against the reward. That's what Paul does. Count that personal pain all worth it. for the eternal gain of one soul saved, of one soul comforted in death, one soul turned back from error, one soul strengthened in the battle against sin. It's all worth it, all that pain. And so we lay it all out for our people and say we love them. We labor for them. Notice what Paul says. It's ongoing labor. I travail in birth again until. Lest we think the pain will be over in one day, we need to understand that the work of the gospel ministry is an ongoing labor. It's ongoing, dare I say, even permanent pain and labor. And in Paul's case, in reference to the Galatians, it's double pain. He's laboring again. Double pain, double grief, and double labor. There's something unnatural about what Paul is saying here. I'm laboring and travailing again for you. No mother gives birth to her child the second time. But when we preach the gospel, when we pastor sheep, there will be times where we labor again in these unnatural birth pangs. That makes the labor pains that much more intense, doesn't it? There will be some for whom you must labor again until you will ask, where is the blessedness they once knew? As Paul says in verse 15, where is then the blessedness ye spake of? For I bear you record. Why is there lukewarmness? Why is there departure from the gospel? Why is there a union with the world that we thought was broken? Where is the love that you have for Christ and for the brethren? And so you set to labor again unnaturally, doubly painfully, even as you labor for those who have never come to faith before. It's perplexing labor as well. Paul says, I desire to be present with you now and to change my voice, for I stand in doubt of you. He's ministered to them all these years, and now he's perplexed. They blindly follow these false teachers back to works and circumcision. All the work that Paul had expended on them seemed to be down the drain. He's perplexed. He concludes his passionate appeal, for I stand in doubt of you. In other words, he's saying, I don't know what to do with you anymore. I've done all this. I've labored unnaturally for you again. I've done everything I could to bring Christ to you and to bring you back to Christ. There will be some of those in your ministry who cause you this perplexing pain. You don't know what to do with them anymore. You preach, you counsel, all to no avail. And so you stand with this perplexing pain, twisting your shepherd's heart. And so, brothers, we must show a heart of love. And when we lay it on the line, when we wear our pastoral heart of love on our sleeve, as it were, there will be this pain. But it's not futile pain. Because behind this love and labor is a heart of longing. And what is the longing that brings Paul to show his heart of love and labor for the Galatians? It's to see Christ formed in them. Never mind that it has to be the second time for some. This is Paul's great longing for the Galatians. This is, we could say, God's longing for sinners. Here, Paul is showing nothing but the heart of Christ for sinners. To take them from the wreckage and the carnage and the destruction and the departure from the gospel and to change them from one level of glory to another. To take them back to the basics of the gospel, to teach them again so that Christ is formed in them. Is this a great longing of ours every time we preach? To see those people before us changed into the glorious image of the shepherd whom you serve. To know Christ and to be like him. And so you gently probe, you gently rebuke and shepherd, you feed the young and the mature with food that is convenient for them. You endure pain and sorrow and perplexity. You love and serve and sacrifice with this one single longing until Christ be formed in them. It's a longing that ought to continue until the job is done. Notice how Paul phrases it, until Christ be formed in you. Just ministering to a dying saint in the last couple of weeks brought this to mind. Our work is not done until our sheep stand before the chief shepherd, until they see him as he is and they are like him. And so we put the boots on and we get back into the muck of the flock. And we continue to minister. We continue to form and shape and mold and speak and pastor and counsel until Christ is formed in them. For the first time and progressively, until we can release them, as it were, into the hands of the great shepherd. Until the weak and doubting are led to assurance, until the young are led to greater maturity, until unbelief is rooted out in the one who constantly questions the promises. Continue until. So we need to persevere, we need to persist, we need to pray, we need to sweat, we need to labor with this one longing. Our pulse needs to beat steadily, laboriously, lovingly, until Christ is formed in them. So the study is not just a place to gain knowledge. The pastor's study is the birthing room of the church. It's where we labor. It's where we pray with this one focus, until Christ be formed in you. When a mother gives birth, she'll give birth to a child that resembles her or the parents in some way. We continue the birth analogy. This is what Paul wants for these Galatians. And how did he do that? How did he do this great task, travailing in birth until Christ was formed in them? He preaches Christ crucified. O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ has been evidently set forth, crucified among you. That's who Paul preached for the Galatians. He preaches Christ, who was cursed in order to redeem. He says, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is every one that hangeth on a tree. He takes them back to the very basics of the gospel. He takes them back to Golgotha. And he says, that's where salvation is. It's not in your works. It's not in circumcision. It's Christ who has borne the curse, so that you might be set free from this bondage that has entered into your assembly again. He preaches union with Christ. He says, I am crucified with Christ. I am dead to the works of the law. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. In the life I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith, that justifying faith of the Son of God. He preaches for them what a life in Christ looks like. And they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. He preaches the law of Christ. Bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. He takes them back to Christ. He holds the chief shepherd before them. He holds the Savior before them so that they can be conformed through the ministry of the Spirit working in them to be conformed Christ. That's our task, brothers, to preach Christ. A full Christ, a redeeming Christ, a cursed Christ, a living Christ, a sanctifying Christ, a loving Christ. And so we continue to bring Christ until he is formed in our people. And so in these verses, Paul opens up his heart for the Galatians. He takes that composite sketch we heard of last week, and he opens it up and he magnifies the heart of the ideal shepherd, of the ideal student. And so he enables us to take our pulse. Is our pulse beating strongly with love? Is it beating strongly with labor for those whom God has placed in our care? Is our pulse beating with this one longing to see Christ formed in them and in yourself? I pray that by God's grace, we might know and feel something of this as we labor from week to week, as we take up our seminary studies 4 years from hence, we're in the churches. I pray that this heart would be yours. Not just the heart of Paul. It's the heart of Christ. It's this heart that transforms sinners who sit before us. It's this heart of Christ that transforms our own hearts, transforms our own ministries, so we continue to labor with perseverance, with love, until Christ is formed in our people and in us. May God bless his word this morning. Let's pray. Lord, we do pray that we would have that heart of love, that heart of longing, that heart of labor, that our pulse would be beating strongly with these three marks of the pastor's pulse, and that our people would know that, would feel that, and through us would see Christ, that we would not only preach the gospel unto them, but that we would also give our souls for them, give our lives for them, to sacrifice, even at the expense of our own personal lives, until this one goal be accomplished, until Christ is formed in them. We pray, O God, that our ministries would not have stillborn children, but as we minister, we would have children made alive through the Spirit, through the preaching of the gospel, the preaching of a full and beautiful Christ. Lord, may we ever reflect his heart. And so give us that increasingly, in greater measure, so that we might reflect him to those around us. And we ask this in his name. Amen.